live from the College of Communication, Arts, and Sciences at Michigan State University. It is now time to go beyond the X's and the O's with WKAR's current sports.
You want to go after an athlete, one of my athletes, come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Well, I'm the best corner in the game. When you try me with a sorry receiver like Crabtree, that's the result you're going to get.
Yes, did I express to them I was mad? I was furious. Just furious.
I know my wife will at least shut fake one time.
We're talking about practice, not a game.
And I told our players, you need to be more like a dog. We don't need a bunch of cats in here. Looking in the mirror. Do I look good? I got my extra bands on. I got my other shoes on. Be a dog. We don't need no meows. We don't need no cat.
Here's your host, L. Martin.
What is up, beautiful people? That's right. It is about that time. Happy Thursday, June 28th, 2018. Really hope you guys are having a great week. You have made it over the hump. You're just a day away now from the weekend. Boy, oh boy, we got a lot to get to on today's current sports. You know, I just read something reported by ESPN Stephen A. Smith that just irked me a bit. You know, I'm a diehard NBA guy, and the talk of the town in the world of North American sports next week will be the LeBron James sweepstakes, which will begin officially on July 1st. And, you know, what's so crazy to me is that I just don't know where the competitiveness is gone. You know, it's all about, you know, superstars linking up with superstars to try and win a ring, because at the end of the day, when that said player's career is done, when we evaluate legacies, a ring is at the top of the list. I'm going to bring to you, again, what is being reported by ESPN Stephen A. Smith when it comes to the LeBron James sweepstakes. And I'll kind of put in perspective which teams are going after LeBron, which teams he's going to legitimately talk to. I believe he's going to legitimately talk to. Also, some news concerning Paul George of the Oklahoma City Thunder and the whole Kawhi Leonard and San Antonio Spurs situation. We'll talk about NBA free agency as it pertains to the LeBron James sweepstakes. Also, today is a big day for mid-Michigan basketball fans, seeing as though tonight will be the opening night of the Moneyball Summer League Pro-Am. This is a great opportunity for all of you Michigan State men's basketball fans out there to see your favorite players up close and personal. You know, it's such an intimate setting. I mean, after these games are said and done, or even before, I've seen some of you fans, even before the games, go up to certain players and then ask for an autograph, take a picture. You know, it's really cool stuff, a really relaxed environment in which you can see just how your players are improving and what they are working on in the summer. Now, it's also fun because, again, there's really no defense being played in the summer league. So you get to see some pretty cool highlight dunks. There's a few pro players that are featured as well. For the first time, there will not be a women's team, a women's league, I should say, that will be competing. But I'll give you a few tidbits as to what to look for at the Moneyball Summer League Pro-Am. Also, it is Thursday, and you guys know each and every Thursday we love to educate you all on sports history as we hop into our current sports time machine to take a look at exactly what happened on this particular date in sports, this June 28th. And our guest for today's current sports is certainly a familiar face. His name is Jason Ruff, former current sports production assistant, and Jason will be leaving us here in the state of Michigan to now do what he has been doing for a long time, but doing it now as a professional. He has a new gig out in Texas. You'll hear all about that and so much more, and we'll do all of that. We'll talk about all of that and so much more while, of course, inviting you to be a part of the party. 517-355-WKAR. 517-355-9527 is the number to call. Again, you know that you can go to social media at facebook.com/WKAR News and check out the live stream and comment below that video. You can weigh in that way. Or you can even join us on Twitter. Tweet the show at WKAR_sports or tweet me directly at Al Martin, WKAR. You know what's next? Here are your current sports quick hit headliners. The 15th annual Moneyball Pro-Am Summer Basketball League begins tonight at Aim High in Diamonddale, Michigan, featuring Michigan State's men's basketball team and college players, former college players and pros from around the area and beyond. It's such a cool event. You can catch game one tonight starting at 6 p.m. And throughout the summer, every Tuesday and Thursday through August 2nd is when the Moneyball Pro-Am will run. And again, Diamonddale, Michigan at Aim High Sports Complex. The cost is absolutely free. That's my favorite word in the dictionary. Absolutely F-R-E-E. However, it needs to be noted that donations are accepted. All right, now we will get a first look really at MSU's five-member incoming class, those players being Foster Lawyer, Marcus Bingham, Aaron Henry, Gabe Brown, and Thomas Kithier. Also, even though he's no longer a member of the Green and White, Lou Rawls' Tum Tum Nairn Jr. will be playing as well, the famed captain of Tom Izzo's squad. I'm curious to kind of pick Tum Tum's brain to see what's next on his things to do, right? Since his career at Michigan State is done now. Again, I think a lot of folks are predicting that Tum Tum will dabble in coaching. So we'll see. I'm sure Tum will talk about that. All right, one day after scoring seven runs, the Detroit Tigers' bats went absolutely quiet, just cold, in a 3-0 loss to the Oakland Athletics. Last night, Detroit tallied just three hits all game and was befuddled by A's starter Chris Bassitt and Oakland's bullpen. Now, with the loss, the Tigers now carry an 8-game losing streak. Ron Gardenhire was ejected by home plate umpire Lance Barksdale between the third and fourth innings. It was his third ejection of the season and first since May 12th. Next up, the Tigers take on the A's in exactly 2 minutes at 1:10 p.m. We'll keep you updated on that score throughout this hour. Also, the Detroit Tigers have fired pitching coach Chris Bosio. Here's Al Avila on the staff change.
Effectively today, we're terminating the contract of our former pitching coach, Chris Bosio, basically for insensitive comments made violating the company policy and the terms of his contract. So, effective today, he's been terminated.
Chris Bosio out as Detroit Tigers pitching coach. Al Avila said bullpen coach Rick Anderson will take over for Bosio. A.J. Sayer, the Tigers' roving pitching instructor, will fill in as bullpen coach until AAA pitching coach Jeff Pico arrives and assumes that spot on manager Ron Gardenhire's staff. The team, which announced the move yesterday, says it holds employees, quote, to the highest standards of personal conduct on and off the field, adding it has zero tolerance for Bosio's behavior. So just a Wednesday that you would like to forget if you are a Detroit Tigers fan. Engineer Ian Hawley, I'm curious, do we know exactly at all what Bazio said. I tried to get my 007 on this morning, and I couldn't find anything on what exactly he allegedly said.
Apparently, no one has released his words yet, although I'm sure it will leak at some point. Yeah. So it's just a matter of time now.
Right. I think so, too. I mean, living in 2018, it's I'm sure there's a lot of rumors floating out there. But again, it was enough that warranted the Detroit Tigers saying, all right, we got to fire you, Chris. So, all right, the Detroit Pistons have agreed to a two-way deal with the Texas Tech point guard, Keenan Evans. Citing unnamed sources, ESPN.com's Adrian Wojnarowski wrote the news on Twitter late Wednesday. Keenan went undrafted after a four-year career with the Red Raiders. He averaged 17.3 points per game, shot 32% from three-point range as a senior. He is 6'3", 190. This will be the second NBA season for two-way deals, which allows teams to have two extra players outside that 15-man roster. Two-way players typically spend most of their time with the Gatorade League or the G League affiliates and are allowed 45 days with the parent club. Oklahoma City Thunder superstar George reportedly informed the team that he will opt out of his $20.7 million player option for the 2018-19 season today. Again, that is being reported by the, I tell you what, he has so many connections. ESPN's Adrian Wojnarowski just is everywhere, always on it. Woj added that George is still seriously interested in returning to OKC, so that door isn't completely shut, in addition to giving serious consideration to signing with the LA Lakers. Now, the Philadelphia 76ers and Houston Rockets are also expected to pursue George. Again, all of that being reported by ESPN's Adrian Wojnarowski. All right, Liz Nagel of DeWitt. Man, I love watching Liz play when she was in high school. Liz Nagel led the Michigan Women's Open after the first round, fell back into the back after the second, and then went on to the top of the heap on Wednesday after the third to win her first professional golf tournament. Congratulations to Liz Nagel. Nagel shot 4 under par, 68 on Wednesday at Crystal Mountain Resort to erase a 5-shot deficit and finish 3 shots in front of 3 players. She won $6,000 from the 40,000 purse after recording a 54-hole total of 9 under 207. So congratulations to Liz Nagel. She is a dynamite golfer. You don't want to play her on the links, trust me. All right, Clarissa Shields. Well, we've been talking about this fight since last week. Clarissa Shields, the 2-time Olympic gold medalist from Flint Town, fought on Showtime on Saturday night for the fourth time, or excuse me, Friday night for the fourth time in her brief professional career. And Drew, get this, her highest ratings yet. The TV audience that tuned in to watch Shields win the IBF and WBA middleweight championship belts win a unanimous decision over Hannah Gabriels from Costa Rica on Friday night at Detroit's Masonic Temple. It peaked at 410,000 people. I was among one of those 410,000 people that was tuned in. That was better than the 320,000 who watched her beat Tori Nelson by unanimous decision in January, and a significant increase over the 241,000 that saw her best Sylvia Sabatos in March of 2017. Now, the average audience for her bout with Gabriels was 376,000, according to BoxingScene.com. The 410K viewers were the most who watched a Showtime Boxing Special Edition since 2014. Gender aside, how about that? That's according to ESPN.com, which said it was also better than any Showbox broadcast during the same time period. So who says female sports can't drive ratings? Clarissa Shields would argue with you on that, and the numbers speak for themselves. Congratulations to Shields there. All right, let's go behind the glass right now as we pass the mic to our very own Connor Mathis, who has a World Cup update. What is happening in the world of football today, Connor?
All right, so what started off as a slow morning ended in exciting fashion as Colombia beat Senegal 1-0 and Poland upset Japan 1-0 for their only win of the tournament. Colombia and Japan will advance. And interestingly enough, Japan advanced on a fair play tiebreaker because they had less yellows than Senegal. And later today, England and Belgium will face off for the top spot in Group G, while Panama and Tunisia will be playing for pride.
Okay, you got to explain that one for me, Connor. What in the world is a fair play tiebreaker? Just because they're playing fair, you get the tiebreaker?
So essentially what it is, and it was funny enough because my brother was hitting me up in our group chat, and he was upset about this. He was really pulling for Senegal. So basically what happens is if you have... At some point, if you have too many yellow cards, it's basically like a penalty on you in a tiebreaker. So,
wow.
I guess they had tiebreakers on goal differential, they had tiebreakers on goal scores, and it came down to the fair play tiebreaker, and Japan had two less cards than Senegal.
So basically, it's saying if you're more well behaved than that other team, then you move on.
Essentially, yeah. And the really funny thing was my brother was really upset because I guess in the game, Senegal got a questionable yellow card that put them over the edge.
Wow. I've never heard of that before. You learn something new in the world of football every day. Thank you so much, Connor. Appreciate that. All right. If you want to weigh in on that or anything on your sports noggin, 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Go to facebook.com/WKAR News to check out the live stream or even tweet us. Tweet me directly at Al Martin, WKAR, or tweet the show at WKAR_sports.
As it pertains to LeBron James in L.A., we know that the reports have been that he's been making some phone calls or what have you. I got two phone calls last night, after hours, with folks telling me that LeBron James reached out to Kevin Durant. Actually, Kevin Durant, you know that dude for the reigning two-time NBA Finals MVP, Max? You know that guy, one of the top three players in the world, that guy who just spent the last 2 years beating LeBron James in the NBA Finals? Well, LeBron James reached out to Kevin Durant via text, from what I'm told, about coming to Los Angeles. I don't know what Kevin Durant's response to him was. That is not the information that I got, but I will tell you what I did hear is that behind the scenes, Kevin Durant was like, why would I do that? You know what? As far as I'm concerned, LeBron James is a big-time player, what have you, but the way I look at it, I should be perceived as the best in the world.
Little Ice Cube, today was a good day. Sampled, of course, and well caught by my engineer Ian Hawley as we were listening to Stephen A. rant about the latest news concerning LeBron James. Isley Brothers, where do they rank on your R&B list? I know have I said this on the air, Ian? I feel like I've already announced. Yeah, I have. I remember when you first got on the air, we talked about this. If you don't know, now you know. Ian Hawley is an R&B artist. I kid you not. You put out a project already. You have an album out, right?
I dabble.
You dabble. You do have an album though, right?
Yeah, it's on SoundCloud.
It's on SoundCloud. It's a two-man group, right?
Mm-hmm.
And Ian Hawley has pipes. I kid you not. I've heard him sing.
I appreciate that.
We had him on as a guest before he became engineer and took over for Isaac Constance, and his music is pretty smooth. It's great for a date. If you got a date, man, you know, go to SoundCloud when you're riding to dinner, you know, with the honey, and put that joint on. It's going to be a good day if you do that.
Got a little bit of baby making music on there.
Right. Ian Hawley, where do you, first off, where do you rank the Isley Brothers on your R&B list before I go on this whole rant about LeBron James and Kevin Durant?
As you know, I'm much more old school R&B than your tastes, which are around the 80s or the 90s. I'm more like 50s, 60s, 70s soul music. Right. So they're right up there for me. I would probably say Marvin Gaye is my favorite artist of all time.
He's great.
He's fantastic. Then the Temptations are right up there.
Yep.
I would say the Isley Brothers come in top 10, but they don't crack the top 5 for me.
Okay,
I got groups like the Four Tops up there above them as well.
Funny story about the Four Tops. You ready? Mm-hmm. My grandfather used to live right next door to him.
Really?
And, yep, you know, Detroit, you know, he got roots right in Detroit. And, yep, my grandfather, he lived next door. Him and my grandmother lived next door to him. And my grandfather used to go over there. My grandfather had pipes, unlike me. I got pipes for radio. I can't sing. I think I can sing, though, when I'm in the shower.
Everybody
in the
sings in the shower.
Exactly, right? I think I'm like, you know, Teddy Pendergrass in the shower. But he would go over there and sing with them in their basement. And, you know, they will indulge in a certain green product while doing so. So, yeah. Good times.
We're talking oregano here, right?
Yeah, oh, right. Exactly. Exactly. We're talking like broccoli, right? They will indulge in a certain green product and, you know, have a good time and sing all night. And, you know, sometimes my grandmother used to have to come over there and just drag him out of there. Like, all right, quit singing with the Four Tops. Get in here. You got things to do. So,
quit singing with the Four Tops.
Isn't
Jeez.
That crazy? That's
if
crazy.
If that ever came out of my wife's mouth, I'd be very upset.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm going to stay here with the Four Tops.
At the time, they weren't the Four Tops. They were just some brothers just singing.
Chilling in the basement?
Right. Chilling in the basement, indulging in a green product. So, all right. Intermixed in this intro from Q, of course, you heard the blaring voice. The unmitigated gall, Stephen A. Smith. You gotta love Stephen A. Smith. Is you know, he's one of the most popular sports broadcasters out there. Analysts out there, sports personalities out there. He's been with ESPN for a long time. He does a show entitled First Take, and today he reported that Cleveland Cavaliers superstar, the best player on this here planet Earth, LeBron James, reportedly sent a text to Golden State Warriors forward Kevin Durant about potentially joining the LA Lakers. And I had to do a double take when I heard it. You know, first of all, I'm not a regular viewer of First Take, but I saw it, you know, as an update on my cell phone. And I said, you got to be kidding me. I mean, And I trust, when it comes to the NBA, I really trust Stephen A. Smith's word, because this is a guy who has covered the NBA for a long time. He's got connections up the woozow, and he prides himself on those connections and reliable sources. So when he reports on something pertaining to the National Basketball Association, I trust it. So, I don't know who his source is. Of course, Stephen A. isn't going to reveal that, because, again, we haven't even officially begun the free agency period. But when I read it, and if it is true, it changes my perception when it comes to the LeBron James that I know right now. And I'll say that to say this. The decision... You know, the decision was one of those, I believe it was like an hour-long broadcast. We all remember when this happened, right? LeBron James decided to do an hour-long broadcast on television. I forget who the reporter was interviewing him throughout this hour-long broadcast, called The Decision, where it was just centered on where LeBron James would go. Would he stay with the Cleveland Cavaliers and ride it out? Or would he go somewhere else and make things and really shift, I should say, the power paradigm in the NBA? And we all know what happened, you know, near the end of that broadcast, near the end of that hour, you know, he famously said the line, I'm taking my talents to South Beach. And he linked up with Dwayne Wade, one of the greatest basketball players of all time, and Chris Bosh, one of the greatest forwards in NBA history. And they went on to win two championships there. Didn't initially dominate the league like we thought they were. But, I mean, when you have Wade Bosch and LeBron James on the same team, an NBA championship was inevitable. And that's what we saw times two down in Miami. After that stint in Miami, he came back to Cleveland. And we know how big that story was. And that is when LeBron James went to Miami, I, like many people, questioned his competitiveness. I said, all right, you're taking the easy way out here. You are taking the easy way out. You don't want to ride it out with Cleveland and see if you can draw some talent to Cleveland instead of going somewhere else and linking up with two other stars in the league. You just want to get a ring. You want to get an easy ring. You want the easiest path to a ring. And I criticize his competitiveness. That's the game that's the NBA that we live in today. But when he went back to Cleveland and he had the long letter, you know, his letter to Cleveland and how he wanted to come back and deliver a championship in the place where he grew up. And he felt like he owed it to the Cleveland Cavaliers fans. You know, he also went on record to say that, he regrets that hour-long special, the decision in which he broke the hearts of Cleveland Cavaliers fans. And after that broadcast, I mean, you had folks out in the middle of the street taking off their number 23 wine and gold jerseys and just setting them on fire. That's how irate many Cavs fans were about the decision. But when LeBron James came back, I said, this is a new guy. This is a guy who realizes that he broke the hearts of his hometown. He's going to come back. And I said he's going to finish his career in Cleveland because he knows that when it comes to legacy, this does so much for his legacy. If he goes back to the team that he once stepped on and delivers them a ring. But again, the NBA has changed now. You know, it's all about mobility. Mobility, movement, freedom to do what you want. Freedom that was actually celebrated. If you tuned in to this week's NBA Awards, it was celebrated by honoring the Big O, Oscar Robertson, the first player in NBA history to average a triple-double in a season. Oscar Robertson at one time became the president of the NBA Players Association and fought for mobility in the National Basketball Association. The Big O, without him, you wouldn't see the movement that you currently see in today's game. So it's celebrated in the game today. And no doubt it is intriguing on a lot of different levels. The ratings of the NBA speak for themselves. But for the basketball purists, and I may sound like that old man, that get off my lawn guy when it comes to this conversation, I like to see competitiveness no matter what sport I'm talking about, let alone my beloved NBA. Kevin Durant got criticized, and many would argue that Kevin Durant's move on July 4th, not too long ago, wouldn't that be something if LeBron James made his decision on July 4th as well? but Kevin Durant got criticized and is still getting criticized for the move in which he left the Oklahoma City Thunder to go and play with the NBA's best team in the Golden State Warriors, a Warriors team that has now won 3 ships in 4 years. A Golden State Warriors team that broke Michael Jordan and the Bulls' famed 70-plus win record, even though they lost that season because LeBron James and the Cavs came back from a 3-1 deficit. That was amazing, right? That also helped LeBron James' legacy, and that's when I really believe the talks and the comparisons of who is the GOAT between LeBron James and Michael Jordan. That's when that conversation really picked up steam. To see something like that happen has never happened before in NBA history, down 3-1, and you come back, wow, impressive stuff. But LeBron James is now a victim of the monster that he created, that mobility, the decision. Kevin Durant was just following in LeBron's footsteps. Now, we can go back and forth as to which move was worse, because Kevin Durant went to a team that is an all-time great NBA team, a team that didn't need your help, a team that was just fine all by themselves. But you go to that team and you just bolster the incredible talent that they already had. I believe that move was worse because of that. But still the same principle. Still the same thought process. Where can I go that gives me the best opportunity to win the coveted NBA championship? And what I really didn't like about the Kevin Durant move, again, from a competitiveness standpoint, is that you went to the team that not only is the best team on planet Earth, but is a team that also beat you. A team that also embarrassed you, that stomped on you, that looked in your face and said, you aren't better than us, and you're never going to be better than us. Now get off the court. We're going to the finals. That's what happened in the Western Conference Finals before Kevin Durant that summer said, you know, I can't beat them. Classic case, if you can't beat them, join them. I can't beat them. I'm just going to join them. That's why I hated that move. So if I trust Stephen A. Smith's reporting, which I do, and I look at this text message that LeBron James reportedly sent to Golden State Warriors forward, Kevin Durant, the same Kevin Durant that for the last 2 years has beaten you, the same Kevin Durant that has hit back-to-back shots in the NBA Finals that have absolutely thrown out any kind of chance that you had in those two series, those shots completely demoralizing you, if Game 1 didn't do it this year already, completely telling you that you're not coming back in this series. That same Kevin Durant walking around looking at the crowd with swag saying, yeah, we're getting another ring. You send a text to that man? Competitiveness is now gone in the National Basketball Association. No longer do guys want to beat one another. Guys want to link up and win rings. That is the league that we are currently seeing today. And is it upsetting as a fan for me? Yeah. You know, you got some fans out there. I don't speak for every NBA fan out there, because there are some fans out there that say, oh, this is fun. This is intriguing. You know, superstars linking up with superstars to win rings. I'm not one of those guys. I like seeing guys compete. I like seeing guys go out there and say, that is my challenge. I'm going to, or try to at least, overcome that challenge to accomplish a certain goal. And if LeBron James sent a text to Kevin Durant, this should be a blow to his legacy. Why would you want to link up with the dude to beat you? I will never understand that. Now, when it comes to, I want to get your thoughts on that, Ian Hawley. Also, putting in perspective what will happen in this NBA free agency, things are really going to heat up. I told myself, I am out. I don't think I've announced this yet. I'm out next week. I'll be down in Florida visiting my mom for the July 4th holiday. Ian Hawley will be in this chair. Some of our current sports PAs will be engineering. But if something breaks, you better believe I'm calling from South Beach.
Yes, sir. I'm ready for it.
I'm taking my talents, I guess, to South Beach next week for 7 days at least. But if something breaks, you better believe I'm calling in and giving my thoughts, because I think that something may break next week.
I got a sneaking suspicion that we're going to see something big next week.
It may happen. On July 4th, we'll have a best of show. So if it happens on July 4th, you'll get, you know, our reaction that Thursday. But what are your thoughts? When hearing Stephen A. Smith report on LeBron James shooting a text message to Kevin Durant, I mean, that really changes my perception. Because I thought that LeBron was dead and gone. I thought the LeBron James of chasing an easy ring. I don't think LeBron James has to chase rings at this point. I think LeBron James, if he is concerned about legacy and where he sits in NBA lore, I don't understand why LeBron wouldn't just stay in Cleveland. And if anything, let talent come to you. Why doesn't anybody want to go to Cleveland to play with him? That's also another conversation I could have here. I don't get that. Ian Hawley, go ahead, my man.
So as far as LeBron chasing rings, I agree with you. It's kind of disgusting to think that he would want to join the Warriors as well, especially after how...
With this report, you know, it'll be... He sent a text saying, hey, Kev, let's go to L.A.
Mm-hmm.
Skip Golden State. Let's go to L.A. together. So not him going
Not the Warriors, the Lakers. And link up with Kevin Durant. Especially when Kevin Durant was just, you know, murdered in the media for doing the same thing when he went to Golden State. Now, I don't necessarily agree that if he linked up with Kevin Durant, it would be worse than him linking up with someone like Kawhi Leonard or Paul George. Because at a certain point, if the two superstars are linking up together and you have a problem with that, then you should have a problem with LeBron linking up with any of the superstars, you know?
But at the same time, I mean, we all know, I think it's pretty clear that Kevin Durant is the second greatest player.
Yes, but the Kevin Durant situation is a little bit different because he's just been torching you in the finals and you've refused to guard him during those finals. You know, when you're guarding Sean Livingston in the corner and making Kevin Love play on Kevin Durant at the top of the key, that's not exactly the look that you want for yourself if you're trying to cement yourself as one of the greatest players in NBA history. Mm-hmm. And we all know LeBron's a great player. He's not going to go down as like the number 15 guy in NBA history. He's going to be top three. But at a certain point, you got to worry about your image more than your rings. And I agree with you. I think this would be a pretty laughable move from LeBron at this point in his career. You know, you've got a few rings under your belt. At this point, just work on passing what you know down to the younger players and mentoring some of those other players. And that will be a good enough legacy for LeBron. Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't think he needs to chase rings at this point in his NBA career. He's old enough. He's cemented his place in the league. Just give it a rest, LeBron. You know, if you're going to go somewhere else besides Cleveland, stay in the East. You don't need to go to the West and then have absolutely no competition in the East to compete with whichever team does come out of the West into the NBA Finals.
Yeah,
because it makes the league look bad as a whole. You know, part of the reason that I like college sports more than professional sports is because there's a much wider range of competition. Other than the University of Alabama in football, because they're always going to be at the top. Mm-hmm. But anyway, there's a much wider range of competition. It's much more interesting to see which teams are going to do well every year.
What's that buzzword? Parity.
Exactly. So if LeBron starts to link up with some other superstars in the West, then it'll just be two teams going at it in the Western Conference. Nobody's really going to watch the Eastern Conference, and then the finals ratings will be down because we all know the team from the West is going to win anyway. So at a certain point, just do what makes you look better, not what gets you more rings.
It depends on what he wants his legacy to be.
I don't really know what he wants his legacy to be. He's been all over the place throughout his career.
Well, him coming back to Cleveland, that helped his legacy tremendously. And also, this past season helped his legacy tremendously. I mean, the fact that he carried a bunch of bums, they were bums, Ian, mm-hmm. to the NBA Finals. That alone was remarkable. It was one of the most remarkable runs we have ever seen in NBA history in the NBA playoffs. It helped his legacy this past season. But if he leaves and goes and links up with a Kevin Durant, that's going to hurt. I don't know. I think now we live in, you know, an NBA where mobility is praised so much now and really has become the norm so much now that if he goes to, you know, L.A. and links up with George and Kawhi, I don't think it'll be a blow to some for his legacy. In my eyes, yeah.
It wouldn't be as bad as Kevin Durant.
Right. No, not at all. That's what I'm saying. For the majority, people will look at it and say, yeah, we expected that to happen. I mean, it's not a big blow to LeBron's legacy. We saw this coming, right? 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Before we hit our first break and bring on our guest for today's current sports, and also I'm seeing here on our Facebook page, it was Jim Gray. That's who it was. Jim Gray, who we see, you know, do a lot of boxing broadcasts. Actually, Jim Gray is going to the Boxing Hall of Fame. Congratulations. I think he got inducted already. Mike Tyson did the introduction for Jim Gray. Very cool stuff. But, yeah, Jim Gray was the journalist who sat down with LeBron James for the decision. Thanks to Jason for commenting on our Facebook page. And also thanks to Jason for calling in because he is on line one right now to weigh in on this whole LeBron James sweepstakes. Jason, what's up, man? What you got to say?
Not much. What's going on, brother?
Well, good,
you know,
man.
It was a surprise to hear this whole thing that he texted Durant, whatever. It is what it is. These guys are so rich. They think they can do what they want. Who knows, whatever. But I don't know if that's going to be as big as a deal as what is going to happen if Kawhi and Paul George go down there. I mean, yeah, Durant's already stated that he wants to stay in Golden State. So I don't think LeBron texting him is going to have any effect on Kevin staying there in Golden State with Day-Day and Steph and Clay. I think that'll be fine. But, to see what happens if, LeBron does go to L.A. and plays under, one of the greatest ever in Magic. If he's out there with Paul George and Kawhi out there, what's going to happen to the little crybaby that they got out of UCLA this last year as a guard that was supposed to be their savior out there in L.A.? But, he was good for a few games, bad for quite a few games, good for a few, bad for quite a few. Mm-hmm. What's going to happen with
Lonzo Ball.
With Ball out there?
Yeah, I think Lonzo Ball gets traded. I think he goes bye-bye. And I think that Magic Johnson, knowing the type of character that he is, I don't think he wants to deal with that distraction of his pops anymore. And, he doesn't want that distraction, especially if you accrue the kind of talent in Kawhi Leonard, Paul George, and LeBron James. I mean, come on now. So I don't think he lasts in L.A. there if that happens.
And then could you imagine this? Say those three go out there.
Mm-hmm.
Then you're not necessarily going to have Mo Wagner as your starting center.
Right. Mo Wagner, it's been rumored that Mo Wagner, depending on what happens in free agency, he may not be playing with the purple and gold. They may do something with him as well. So it's going to be interesting to see how this all plays out for sure, Jason.
Definitely, definitely. I just can't wait to see what's going to happen with the Pistons. Hopefully they can do something.
Yeah.
But and hopefully our Tigers can pull something off this afternoon.
Right.
Because, we're losing to the Moneyball team. I mean, come on now. We shouldn't be losing to a team that had a movie made about them.
Yeah, and now...
That was also in the age of the steroids with Canseco and McGuire. Oh, yeah, that's right.
Right.
But, it is what it is. Hey, we'll have to hit the course soon, brother.
You got it, man. Jason, always great talking with you. And, yeah, that is the Moneyball team, isn't it? The Oakland A's. Yeah, that great movie. It's one of my favorite sports movies of all time. And a quick score update when it comes to the Detroit Tigers and the Oakland Athletics. The Detroit Tigers in the bottom of the second actually lead the Oakland A's 2-0. All right. Let's hit our first break. Again, I'm going to give you guys a brief Moneyball preview later on in the hour, but after we return from this brief break, we will welcome to the show a very familiar face. His name is Jason Ruff, former current sports production assistant and new director of broadcasting and media relations for... Pause. Stick around to find out where he's going. We'll be right back. You are listening to WKAR's Current Sports. Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. Let's get right to our guest for today's Current Sports. He is a dear friend of the show. Of course, he has direct ties to us here at WKAR. He is a former Current Sports production assistant, and he has a new gig. He will be leaving us and heading down to Texas very soon. I'll just announce it right now. The new Director of Broadcasting and Media Relations for the Odessa Jackalopes. Hopefully I'm saying that right.
You got it.
Okay, I got it. Jackalopes of the North American Hockey League. It's my pleasure to welcome Jason Ruff to the show. Jason, how's that sound? The new Director of Broadcasting and Media Relations for the Odessa Jackalopes. It's got to feel good, right?
It feels good. It feels surreal. You announce the job that you got a new job, and you get all this praise on you. Oh, congratulations. You're going to do great. It's really kind of a challenge sometimes to stay grounded and stay humble, but I think we're doing an okay job.
Well, you have no problem doing that, my man. I mean, I want you to kind of explain your mindset right now, because I remember when I graduated college in May of 2012, and I was sitting back in Detroit applying for every job, that I saw, every TV sports reporting job I saw online. I'm getting no calls. I'm getting frustrated. And then, you know, I get, you know, I had two interviews, one in a station in WBKB, called WBKB out in Alpena, Michigan. And they offered me a gig there. But during the same time where I'm, you know, debating on whether or not to go up there, and I'm like, yeah, I'm pretty sure I'm going to do that, Channel 6 called, where I'd interned for 2 years, and I ended up, of course, going to Channel 6 at WLNS-TV6 under Fran Heumann, and I was a reporter there for 7 months. But I remember when I first got that gig as a professional broadcaster, there were some nerves. I'm not even going to hold you up, man. What are you feeling when you think about going down there in that first day? That's got to be a little nerve-wracking a little bit, right, Jason?
Yeah, I'm a big historical movie buff. There's a historical movie called Horatio Hornblower where he gets his first command of his first ship, and he's standing there in the cabin, and he's holding the compass in his hand, and his hands are shaking, and he says a word that's not appropriate for radio, so I won't say it. But it's one of those things. But then you think, okay, you trust your training, trust in the education, trust in what has gotten you this far, and go out and take it. I'm a big historical guy, as you know. Yeah. It was Napoleon Bonaparte who said, excellence is nothing without opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
God has seen fit to grant me this opportunity to nudge the door open slightly. Now it's up to me to walk through and make a name for myself, and I am incredibly blessed and thankful for this opportunity. It just, the nerves are starting to go away, and I was like, excited, like, all right, let's go, let's do it, let's do it. I can't wait, let's do it.
Exactly. And you know, you're in a different position than I was because, I mean, you are packing up and you're going miles and miles away from family and friends to an area you've never visited before, to an area that is completely unknown, and you're going to be working down there. And that's a different mindset, I know, right?
It is. It is. You know, it's a different culture. It's a different experience, different weather. Mm-hmm. Like, when it's going to be, like, what, 10 degrees up here, it'll be 70 degrees down there, and I'll be
insurance.
You're
just going to rub that in already,
right? Oh, of course. Oh, yeah.
I tell
you. Yeah. I'll be calling you up. Like, Al, how cold is it up there? Yeah, it's 70 degrees down here. No, it's totally different, but you know what? I'm taking it as it's an opportunity to grow and expand horizons and to get out of the comfort zone a little bit because what happens when you get out of the comfort zone? You grow.
Exactly. That's what it's all about, my man. And I know you're going to do a great job down there. How did this gig come about for you?
It was crazy because the day before, you know, I was, like you said, gotten a couple rejection letters. I was getting frustrated. And then the next day while I'm sending out some more applications, I see this pop up in my timeline of the website I subscribe to. And I said, all right, 20 minutes after I see this pop up on my timeline, I've already sent my stuff out there. An hour later, they reach out to me, say, we want to give you a phone interview. Does 1 o'clock tomorrow work? I'm like, perfect. Mm-hmm. It works fine. Do the interview. 3 hours after that interview, they offered me the job. So in basically, Al, a span of around 24 hours, I went from no job to having a job offer. And it's just that it's that quick. It can turn that quick right on a dime.
Your life can change in a matter of hours. That's what I always tell students that. And, you know, with us being here at Michigan State, I mean, we have you know, some MSU students who work on the show, you know, just much like yourself when you were here as a student at MSU. If there are students watching right now, listening right now, what kind of advice would you give or to anybody out there? If anybody is out there listening who has had a dream of pursuing sports reporting or broadcasting, you know, as a profession, what kind of advice would you give to those individuals?
I'm going to stay away from the cliche, trust the process, because apparently
that's trademarked by Philly now
and so mainstream. But really the advice I would give to anyone listening, especially the guys in the back there, trust in yourself and trust in a higher power, because God has a path set for each and every one of you. And when that door opens, sprint through it. Don't walk through it. Sprint through it, because it's open for you for a reason.
That's very well said. Very well said. Again, we're chatting with Jason Ruff, former current sports PA and new director of broadcasting and media relations for the Odessa Jackalopes of the North American Hockey League. Of course, Jason, you know, you are our hockey expert, in-house hockey expert for many, many segments here on Current Sports. Can you tell us a little bit about the North American Hockey League and also about the Odessa Jackalopes, because I'm pretty sure 99.9% of my audience does not know who the Odessa Jackalopes are.
I wouldn't blame you if you said 100. But the North American Hockey League is an American Tier 2 junior league, much like the United States Hockey League. It's a feeder league to both Division 1 and Division 3 colleges, such as Michigan State. A lot of the teams are in the North American Hockey League are spread out across the central and the eastern United States. We're going to be in the southern division, which is going to have a lot of teams in Texas, one in Kansas, and one in Louisiana. Mm-hmm. A little bit farther away from where Isaac Constance is. So
nice.
Maybe we can get together going. But the Odessa Jackalopes, I think, you know, they're an up and coming club. They made the playoffs last year. Unfortunately, they got eliminated in the first round, but they play out of a really nice old barn called the Ector County Coliseum, which is this old barn that hosts everything from hockey to rodeos to even picnics.
Wow, really?
Yeah. So, you know, it's nice. In the Permian Basin, a hardworking area of the state of Texas, and I'm really excited to get after it, represent not only the Jackalopes organization, but also the hardworking and passionate hockey fans of that area.
Have you visited Odessa at all, Odessa, Texas at all?
I have not.
You
haven't even
set foot on Odessa, Texas soil, and you've already got the job. It's going to be an entirely new experience for you. And you know what? I'm on the Jackalopes website right now. This mascot?
Oh, yeah.
Yo, I need some Odessa Jackalopes gear.
I'll
please
hook you
up, brother. Oh, this mascot. So a jackalope is a rabbit.
With antlers.
What?
A rabbit with antlers. What, you didn't know this?
A rabbit with antlers?
Yes.
Did you know this, Ian Hawley? Am I the only one left out when it comes to this? Is that a real animal,
Yeah,
Ian?
Yeah, being from the South, I know all about them.
Oh my, that's a good
No, I'm just going to rub it in.
That's a good point. That's a really good point, Ian. That's a real animal. You've seen a jackalope running around.
They're kind of cute, you know, when you give them a chance and you look past the horny antlers.
A rabbit with an antler? That sounds like a unicorn. That sounds made up. Are you serious? I had no idea. I'm sorry, but the mascot looks unbelievably cool. It looks like this mean rabbit deer antler guy with a hockey stick on his shoulder.
Oh yeah.
I love the colors, man. The red, black, purple, and blue. Very cool stuff. For you, Jason, what is your goal? I mean, how long have you signed a contract with them? I guess for the season, right? I mean,
yeah, we're all set and ready to go to start the season off.
Will you have a color analyst, or is just you doing play by play?
It's just me. It's all me.
Just you in the booth,
yep,
doing play by play for the Jackalopes. How far do they travel?
They're probably going to travel all over. We may not get a couple games. The schedule is probably going to come out sometime this week, I've been told, so I haven't had a chance to look at it yet. But I would imagine we may do a couple games in the really north and really east, but maybe not too many because it's a bus league. We don't fly. It's all on the bus.
Gotcha. For those that haven't heard you broadcast, Ken, you were a play-by-play voice for the Big Ten Network Student U. For those who have not ever heard you rock the mic during a game, how would you describe your broadcast style?
I would describe it as a kind of funny combination of Pat Foley of the Chicago Blackhawks with a little bit of Doc Emrick sprinkled in there.
I like that. Okay, I've heard them both, and they are both very talented, and so are you, my man. The North American Hockey League. Is this kind of like the minors in baseball?
It's below the United States Hockey League, which for our Michigan residents here, the Muskegon Lumberjacks are members of the United States Hockey League. That league feeds almost exclusively to the Division I colleges because the talent is that good. North American Hockey League is a half step below that, so you get players going to both Division I college and Division III colleges, like St. Norbert's, for example. Excuse me.
Okay, so we usually see these players, you know, when they do leave
the
Jackalopes organization, they usually go to a college.
Right, usually. Gotcha. They'll go play, some will go play D1, some will go play D3. It really depends on the skill set of the player.
When are you leaving?
I officially start in August.
You officially? Oh, so you got some time here.
I got some time, a little bit of time, you know, relax and like, okay, actually enjoy summer and not have like, oh my gosh, am I going to get have all that stress on me, which I'm incredibly thankful for. But
Have you found an apartment down there yet?
Not yet.
Okay.
Thankfully, I'm under the impression that all that's currently being taken care of right now.
So they're hooking you up. That's fantastic stuff.
Yeah.
Well, I tell you what, Jason, it's been a pleasure having you on and a part of the WKAR family. And, of course, we'll be in touch. I mean, that's the thing about radio. You can always call in, and we'll have you on throughout the season as you tear it up for the Odessa Jackalopes. But if there's anything that you want to say to our listeners out there, I'll give you the platform as we close out the show here.
I just wanted to say something to you directly, Al. I wanted to thank you for being one of, if not the best mentor a young student can have. I remember meeting this guy, for those of you who don't know him, my freshman year, I went to one of your video shows as an assignment for one of my
current
classes.
Sports TV, in front of a live audience.
Yeah,
right.
I was in the audience and I met you.
Yeah.
Eventually that blossomed into a kind of a shadow, and then I took a class with you working here as a production assistant. And you've just been a constant shoulder whenever necessary and a wealth of information. And I couldn't be more proud and happy not only to call you a friend, but a mentor and now officially a colleague.
Thank you so much, Jason. You're about to make me cry, man. Stop it, dude. Stop it, man. Oh, boy. All right. Well, we have about 4 minutes left here. Again, much thanks to Jason Ruffin. On behalf of us all here at WKAR, we wish you the best. Again, you're going to continue to be no stranger here to the show. We'll be calling you up when the Red Wing season hits, and Blackhawks tear it up, you know, next season, who knows? You'll definitely be a part of the show still. But we're wishing you well. We will be listening.
Thank you, Al. Thank you.
Sounds good. All right. To close out the show, Ian Hawley, we don't have to run the introduction music for Throwback Thursday today. Only got five events to bring to you all. So today is June 28th, and each and every Thursday, we hop into our current sports time machine to take a look at exactly what happened on this particular date in sports history. Well, on this day, back in 1997, a pretty big moment occurred. If we had more time, I wish we could cut a bite for this, but on this day, back in 97, I was 7 years old, Mike Tyson was disqualified for biting Evander Holyfield's ear off. Do you remember this? And bit Evander Holyfield's ear off in the ring after three rounds of the WBA heavyweight title fight in Las Vegas, Nevada. Ian, you had to be like two when this
happened. Yeah, it was one of the, I watched the 30 for 30 on it, and it was one of the most savage things I've ever seen anyone do in any setting of any kind, let alone sports.
Crazy. On this day, back in 97, that happened. Mike Tyson just said, I don't know, I'm hungry. And just
your ear's
off.
Mine now.
Exactly, right? Crazy
He was
stuff.
A hungry boy.
Right. 1971, the U.S. Supreme Court overturned the draft evasion conviction of Muhammad Ali. Big day there. 1995, the NBA draft was held at the Sky Dome in Toronto, Ontario. It was the first time the draft was held outside the USA. In 1996, Daryl Strawberry, what could have been with him, right, if it wasn't for drugs? But Daryl Strawberry hit his 300th home run. And in 2000, Jeff Carrillo of the Colorado Rockies hit three homers and a double against San Francisco. That wraps up this Thursday edition of WKAR's Current Sports. We'll see you tomorrow on Friday. Be easy, people.